This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now, there's a barmaid there, good-looking young lady. She's serving me a drink. Hey, what would you like? I usually, my drink was, give me a Kettle One martini, three olives, glass of water on the side. I finish the drink. The guys come in. I'm going to go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, hey, Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down, but you're on record with us.
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of The Jordan Harbinger Show.
I have many, many thoughts on what was an awesome night, and I'm just going to give you all those, and I'm going to try to package them all in 1 hour instead of 4 hours like we did last night. All that's coming up right now on I'm Right. That was awesome. That was awesome. Didn't I tell you it was going to be awesome? And I know what you're saying right now. How is this awesome? I'm on my ninth glass of wine. Jesse, how could you say this? People, when you are on your deathbed one day, and we all will be, I promise you this. You are not going to be laying down on your deathbed and saying to yourself, oh, thank goodness my life was so boring. You're going to be laying there and you're going to be thinking about all the wild things that happened in your lifetime. Yes, this is a complete disaster. But as far as the United States of America goes, it's beyond embarrassing. Internationally, people looking at this is embarrassing. We have the leader of Iran making fun of us publicly right now. It is embarrassing. And yes, this is no question, whoever pulls this out, Trump or Biden, this is no question accelerating America's slide. I mean, faith in the electoral process and the election process, it's kind of critical. Once you lose that, I don't know what comes after, but none of it's good. Because no matter what, think about this. And right now, we don't know. Let me clarify where we are right now. As it stands right now, we do not know. It looks like Biden's going to have Michigan and Wisconsin. We're not sure if some shenanigans went on there. But at the same time, Donald Trump looks like he's going to have Pennsylvania. And as of this exact moment, might take Arizona. I'm talking to a lot of people inside of Trump's camp. They're fairly confident he's going to take Arizona. Well, let me clarify something for you. If Donald Trump wins Pennsylvania and Donald Trump wins Arizona, Donald Trump is president again for 4 years. If he doesn't, if Biden keeps that lead in Arizona, as it looks right now, he's toast. But then again, we have all this litigation coming. Two other things you have coming. Michigan and Wisconsin were razor thin, and it looks really bad. And we'll get to that in just a little while, but it looks really bad. We all went to bed. I was up with you until midnight covering this thing, and Trump's ahead. And we go to bed, and I wake up 4 hours later to start doing my radio show and shake the cobwebs out of my eyes. I know I look a little tired right now. And now he's behind, and they're finding all these Biden votes. Looks really bad. Pennsylvania. Remember, I just talked about Pennsylvania briefly. Donald Trump's currently ahead in Pennsylvania. But they still have all these ballots to count. And Pennsylvania has already said it'll be Saturday at least. What are you going to do if Trump is your presumptive president again? He has Pennsylvania, he has Arizona. because he has a big lead in Pennsylvania right now, and they start finding a bunch of Democrat ballots. What I'm telling you is this. From both sides, we don't have faith in the election process. If Donald Trump pulls this out, people on the left are going to say he cheated. And people on the right are already going to say the left tried to cheat. If Joe Biden pulls it out, how confident are you it was legit? Don't, and by the way, don't do this thing where you listen to the left or our whiny invertebrates on the right. You can't say it's illegitimate. BS. Yes, you can if the evidence is there. Well, we're going to try to work through what is real and what is not real. We're not going to be conspiracy theorists here. But if it looks like they cheated, we're going to call a spade around here. How confident are you going to be that it was legit? I mean, you understand what the left did, right? It's genius. We should have done it. We should learn in the future. While you and I were worried about the sexy things, oh, president. Ooh, United States Senator, that's big time. Ooh, let's get a congressman there. You know what the left was doing? Throwing millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars into DA races, into Secretary of State races. Doesn't matter what the rules are, if you're controlling who enforces them, does it? You think it's an accident? The states that are still hanging out there right now are all Democrat-run states, with the exception of Arizona, who they're just flat-out counting the ballots there, but Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. Do you think it's an accident? Oh, we're still finding ballots. It's going to take us days. Oh, wow, that's a huge Biden batch of ballots. Do you think it's an accident? Come on. Come on. You're going to have to do better than trying to shame me and convincing me of that. No, I'm not going, oh, this is a stolen election if Biden won. I'm not doing that. But I need information. I need more information than I have now. Both sides, probably no matter what, are going to say the next president of the United States of America is not a legitimate one. It's a huge deal. That's as big a deal as it gets. That's never happened in my lifetime, ever. On a small, small scale, there was Bush Gore. It didn't come close to what this is going to be. And what this is a preview of our future. This is not a one-off here. This is what it is now. The left got their people in the necessary positions of power that you and I don't think about all over the United States of America. Let me ask you something. And you're a political person. You're informed. Shoot, you're sitting down right now watching my show. Who's your Secretary of State? What is the name of your Secretary of State? You see? You see? And it's human nature. I'm not indicting you. I'm just as guilty as anyone else. We all want to talk about Trump, 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 Trump all day long. He's the president. Trump, Biden. Oh, maybe Kamala Harris. Maybe this senator, he got some TV time. They're back there blocking and tackling while you and I are only worried about the flashy wide receiver. What wins football games? But back to the excitement. These are interesting times. These are interesting times. These are consequential times, important times. You might look back one day with your kid bouncing on your lap, feeding him a Werther's Original. I don't know if people actually do that or if that's just in the commercials. And tell him about the time Americans' election process started going down the crapper. And it is embarrassing internationally. I don't want to gloss over that. I talked about the leader of Iran. We're not nothing. I mean, with all due respect to even a place like France, France is a big-time country, major power. The world doesn't watch France when France has an election. It'll be a headline on page 6 over here when France changes leadership. The entire world watches when the United States of America picks who its president is going to be. The entire world watches. And we're embarrassing ourselves. Forget about Biden, Trump. States here, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Florida, Secretary of State, forget about all that for a moment. This is embarrassing. We are the United States of America, and this is embarrassing. We can't have a presidential election now without ballots coming in from all over the place, early ballots, absentee ballots. Well, we need another couple days on these ones. Whoa, who cares if those are postmarked? Just let them through anyway. We can't even get an election done now. The entire country can't do elections like states like Florida does elections. I mean, it's always fun to make fun of Florida now and then because there's a bunch of crazy people down there. But Florida is an awesome state, I should mention. And boy, again, forgetting about Democrat, Republican, how professional does Florida look right now? Votes counted in on time. Done. Here's your election results. Good night, everybody. We have people going to bed. We have people in Nevada saying, oh, you know, we're not going to start adding these votes up again until Thursday. Wait, what? What did you say? Thursday? This is to decide the president of the United States of America. You don't go to sleep Tuesday. What are you doing Wednesday? Just taking the day off? Oh, man, you know what? I am bushed. I was up all night. We'll get to those Thursday. Maybe take a long weekend. Anyone mind? What? That's just something that floors me about all this. How stupid does your state look if you can't get the results in? And how embarrassing when other states have figured out how to do so. Terrible. Terrible. But we live in interesting times. And let me clarify something out there right now. This is on a personal note. I don't normally do this on the show. Stop texting me. Every time I set down my phone, right now I'm doing my show. I'm going to pick up my phone after this hour's over, and I'm going to have 20, and that's not an exaggeration, 20 or 30 text messages on my phone. What's happening? Who's winning? What's happening? Who's winning? I'm not updating you all 24 hours a day. I can't be the one to calm you all down. Figure it out on your own or just watch the show. But I get it. I'm only half kidding. I get it. Everybody's nervous. People are anxious. They don't know. People hate uncertainty. We're going to be all right. It's embarrassing. It's not good. We're going to be all right. Now, something interesting is taking place with the candidates, the Biden campaign, the Trump campaign. But here's what Trump said.
This is a fraud on the American public. This is an embarrassment to our country. We were getting ready to win this election. Frankly, we did win this election. So our goal now is to ensure the integrity for the good of this nation. This is a very big moment. This is a major fraud in our nation. We want the law to be used in a proper manner. So we'll be going to the U.S. Supreme Court. We want all voting to stop. We don't want them to find any ballots at 4 o'clock in the morning and add them to the list. Okay? It's a very sad moment. To me, this is a very sad moment. And we will win this. And we, as far as I'm concerned, we already have won.
It's quite a statement. Quite a statement from the president. Jake Tapper on CNN didn't like it.
President Trump, as we anticipated, falsely and prematurely declaring victory, saying that he won. He did not win. He has not won. The president falsely depicting the counting of votes as a fraud and an embarrassment. That is not what is going on. What is going on is the normal democratic process. Almost everything President Trump said in his declaration of victory was not true. It may well be that President Trump ends up winning this election. That might be once the ballots are counted. But what President Trump just said was undemocratic and false and premature. It is not accurate to say that he won. We do not know who won this election.
Okay, that's fine. Jay Tapper hates Donald Trump. I'm not worried about that. Here's what I do worry about, and you know I always harp on this. I'm worried about so many people, powerful voices on the right today, saying things like, stop saying it was stolen. Oh, calm down. It's not stolen. Don't be a conspiracy nut. Stop with this stuff. Well, hold on a second. Hold on. The facts matter, right? Now, you don't want to just say that to say it, but if my wife and I come home tonight and she walks in my son's room and catches him trying to burn the house down and comes out and says, Jesse, your son's trying to burn the house down, should I yell at her and say, stop saying that, it makes our family look bad? Wait, what? Well, was he burning the house down or not? That's what matters. That's what matters. Don't tell me to not say something right now. If something's true, then we're saying it. This stuff we're seeing on the ground looks really, really, really bad. And Democrats love it. There's nothing Democrats love more than somebody on the right when Democrats pull some crap, than somebody on the right who's just trying to calm everybody down. Oh, don't say they're engaging in fraud. We don't need that tension right now. Bull crap. If they are, we better call it out or we're screwed. Man, we lack some balls sometimes. It absolutely drives me crazy. The amount of people on our side who exist to be thought of as the right kind of conservative by the scumbags who are trying to destroy us, it simply blows me away. It blows me away. Rachel Maddow, I have to tell you, I saw her say this. I thought this was pretty rich.
One of the things that's been interesting tonight is how many incumbents of all kinds have been reelected.
Yeah.
And this has not been a night where, you know, incumbent senators have been turfed out and incumbent members of the House. Still, the most likely way you're going to lose your House seat is in a primary rather than in a general election in our gerrymandered United States of America. But it has been remarkable to see the stability, not only between the 2016 and 2020 presidential map, but also in congressional races and Senate races. Up and down. I mean, you're just not, I mean, on either side, you're not seeing, not only is there no wave, it's like a pond where you drop in a rock and there's no ripples.
Well, there may not be a wave, but Republicans picked up 7 House seats. Republicans held on to the United States Senate. We know these things at this point in time. So again, something's interesting happening out there. Something interesting is happening out there. Joe Biden said this.
I'm here to tell you tonight, we believe we're on track to win this election. Yes. We knew because of the unprecedented early vote and the mail-in vote, that it's going to take a while. We're going to have to be patient until the hard work of tallying the votes is finished. And it ain't over till every vote is counted, every ballot is counted. But we're feeling good. We're feeling good about where we are.
They're feeling good. Maybe they should be. Look, let's be frank here. He might be president of the United States. He might be. Gosh, that's going to be embarrassing. But whatever. What are we going to do? I'll keep you up on the news. I have some more harsh words, more for America in general. Not the voters, just the country as a whole. After this, all that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. Do you think what you're seeing out there right now equals stability? I mean, you know, it doesn't. Why don't you have a gold IRA from Gold Alliance yet? Again, I'm not telling you to buy my penny stocks. I'm not telling you to pull all your money out of the stock market. A gold IRA needs to be part of your retirement portfolio. It just does. I know you have a ceiling on it. I know you want it to get up there. I hope yours does. I hope mine does. You need to take some time and raise the floor because you see the deficit. You see the spending. It's really, really bad. It's really irresponsible. And look, there's no indication that kind of irresponsible money management's about to get better over the next 4 years, no matter what. Go to goldalliance.com/Jesse. That's goldalliance.com/Jesse. We'll be back. All right. That was the bright and sunny portion. I have something to say. And I'm not going to dwell on this forever because I know there's enough stress and anxiety out there right now. But these videos from last night, specifically videos like this from last night.
Back up!
Yeah,
that's why. Well, I got you. Is that what I did? Yeah, it's not it.
Well, you should turn around and walk back.
I'm telling you to move back, move back. Black Lives Matter flag. Here we go. We marching, y'all. Here we go.
Everything's good, buddy. Everything's good. Come on, let's go.
Where are you going? Where are you going? Come on, come on, come on.
That's somebody getting hit in the head with a metal bat. It was worse than that in Portland. What are we doing? Again, like I said in the beginning, the world watches when the United States of America has an election. That is so embarrassing for the most powerful nation in the world to have somebody getting brained with a metal bat in front of the White House on the night of our election. Are we that weak now? Is that what we are? I don't want to believe that's what we are, but this is apparently the norm. Whenever they're upset now, out in the street, assaulting, vandalizing, that businesses have to board up their windows now for an American election is such a national embarrassment. And I'll tell you what, get mad at me all you want, but I am a history freak. All the powerful empires, all of them, I love them. I read about them as much as humanly possible. I can't think of one that would have allowed this crap to happen at the height of their power. I can think of several that would allow this crap to happen at the end of their power. For a national power to have people being assaulted 200 or 300 feet from where the president is laying down to sleep that night on election night and let that stuff go, highly, highly embarrassing. Now, Lindsey Graham won re-election.
The other purpose I have is to make sure that every conservative in South Carolina understands this. I will do everything I can to stop the radical agenda coming from Nancy Pelosi's house. So, Speaker Pelosi, if you enact the agenda you're talking about, we're going to bury it in the Senate because it's bad for America.
Something to feel good about right there. Look, something to feel good about. If Joe Biden ends up being president, we're going to have a Republican Senate. I know some of those Republicans are weenies. You know we're going to call them out. And no, it's not like it doesn't matter because there's a lot you can do with the office of the presidency. But as far as major pieces of legislation go, they're dead. They're dead. There you go. How about that for Sonny? All right, this isn't Sonny. Home title theft. It's ugly, extremely ugly. You have to have home title lock or you cannot possibly protect yourself from it. You can't. It's not possible. Law enforcement simply has not caught up to home title theft yet because your home title, it's not a piece of paper. It exists now online. It is digital. These cyber thieves, they hack into it, forge your signature on it. I've seen it. It looks completely real. Take a loan out against it. You're paying that loan back, or you're getting evicted from your home. Your home insurance will not cover it. All you have is home title lock. They will stop it. Go to hometitlelock.com. That's hometitlelock.com. Use the promo code RADIO. That gets you 30 free days of protection. We'll be back. Joining me now from the Media Action Network, a man we really do need to talk to today, Ken LaCourt. Ken, overall, let's just start overall, then we'll work our way down. I find this to be terribly, terribly embarrassing, just as an American. I mean, we have the leader of Iran making fun of our election process. This is embarrassing. I'm embarrassed.
Oh, you know what?
leaders of Iran can go pound sand. I mean, first of all, let's.
I realize that, but still, this is embarrassing.
Second is, you know, we should be able to count this stuff a little bit better. But with them saying, hey, you can drop something in a mailbox in some city on the day of the election, and you got to wait a few days to get those in and count those. You always know in tight races, and this is a tight race, that there are going to be some delays, especially when you have some states saying, hey, we're literally going to count those things until Friday. And if it was blowout numbers, nobody would care. But these are pretty tight in things. So I'm not all that embarrassed.
Oh my boy, that makes one of us. We are the United States of America. This is not Uganda.
We need to be able to count pieces of paper more quickly. Yeah, you're probably right. Look, you're too young to remember Florida, where they were using magnifying glasses for weeks on things. Look, the other thing is, it's easier to count elections and election results in Iran because you just make up the number and put it down. I mean, we actually do go through the concept of counting our ballots here and doing it. We don't lop off heads. We don't just make stuff up. So, you know, that takes a little bit more time than the mullahs might have.
Ken, nerd out for me on why. Because, look, I'm one of a sea of Americans right now who wakes up this morning and I see all these states, Florida now, actually, ironically, being one of them, razor sharp, professional, votes are in, votes are counted, results are in, done. How can so many states do it and then other states, Democrat-run states that happen to be really important states, don't seem to be able or willing to pull this off? Why? What is the actual process? What is this state missing and this state has?
You know, I don't know. I mean, but look, have you ever like met a Secretary of State, or have you ever been like, wow, there's a tight race to be the next Arizona Secretary of State, and we've got the PhD candidate from Harvard fighting it out tooth and nail with the former chess champion of the world? I mean, you know, these are usually kind of political hack jobs. You know, walk into the DMV. I mean, it's you think that they're all that different in the counting areas of this? I mean, you know, they're low level jobs from which you can't be fired and are run by politicians. You know, one wouldn't expect necessarily to see the best and the brightest counting election returns.
But states are still powerful entities. I agree with you. Nobody cares about their idiot Secretary of State. One, we should care a lot more, as everybody's seeing right now. And two, I mean, as a whole, setting aside Democrat, Republican, it's embarrassing if you're leading Pennsylvania today. That's embarrassing. That's a great state, and they should be embarrassed. They should be horrified by what they're doing. If you're in Florida, you look like a professional operation. Wow, somebody who knows what they're doing. It is embarrassing overall, no matter what your party is.
Look, it doesn't seem like the hardest thing to have done is to count these things up. We've gone a lot of elections where by the end of the night they say, hey, this is who won it. I don't know the exact reasons why. Is it understaffed? Is it politics getting involved? Is it just kind of stupidity? Is it onerous laws put onto them by their state legislatures? Not quite sure.
Okay, Ken.
This is really what's bothering you. The fate of the world is exploding. We might have a communist vice president, and you're worried about how quickly you get to find out the results.
I do. Okay. And it actually matters a lot more to me than whether it's Biden or Trump
wins
for the next 4 years. Because in my opinion, the ship has already sailed, and that this actually accelerates the downfall of the United States of America. No, we're not ending as a country tomorrow. But both sides now, no matter what, will think this election was stolen. And even if Trump wins, the right will think the left tried to steal it, the left will think it was stolen. If Joe Biden wins, everyone on the right will think it was stolen. And whether anything nefarious happened or not, that is terrible for a country. That is absolutely wretched for a country to have people believe that.
That's a fair thing. Maybe we can go like our liberal colleagues did 4 years ago and go out and scream at the sky for 5 minutes some night, and then we'll all feel better.
Do you suspect there actually is something dark going on, Ken? Because while I'm not going to do that thing where, oh, there's nothing dark going on, I think that's idiotic and childish and frankly condescending to what people can see with their eyes, I want to be aware of what the facts are. Is there something ugly happening out there, or isn't there?
You know, I think that's a good analysis of it, because you're right. You know, the harder core conservative my friend is, the more tweets or text messages I'm getting explaining how they can't understand why Trump is letting them steal the election. Look, I think that we can't put anything by anybody. All right. I mean, we literally have people, and this especially includes, you know, mid and low level government workers who hate President Trump with such a passion that they would spit in your food, that they would knock the hat off your head when you come into a store, that they would say that you did things. I mean, so I don't put it beyond anybody's desire to do that. That doesn't mean that they are, and but you know, I think that we have to be fact-based, evidence-based when we hear problems, see problems, go in and investigate it. Because I don't just buy the whole notion that of course it's stolen, but I know that they would if they could. I mean, there you know there are a number of look. I mean, we see how crazed people are in this society about Donald Trump, and you know, I think that the guy working the machines that are counting these ballots. You know, I don't expect that they are all as pure as the driven snow. So I think they definitely need, we need to keep an eye on it. We need to follow wherever facts might lead on those. But we also just can't willy-nilly said, my side lost, it must have been stolen. You know, obviously a close race.
Ken, okay, no matter how the election works out, it was a lot closer than Trump-Hillary. Why? What did Trump lose? Who did he lose? Why did he lose them?
You know, I think that what we saw, you know, you hate to trust polling because the polling was I mean, you know, these guys should just be, you know, I'd swap some Mexican village that I don't even know the name of, and they get every pollster in America. That would be a good fair swap. But I think what you saw is you saw some. Look, you don't have to lose a lot. I mean, you know, he won these states. Look, he won Wisconsin last time by what, 10,000 or 20,000? And if he loses it now, it looks like he's losing by a similar notion. These are very, very small movements. And I think that some people, especially older people, were bothered by his coronavirus response. Ironically, I don't think that he did anything all that wrong or differently than anybody did. He, by and large, followed the advice of the top scientists up there. I think attitudinally sometimes and mask-wise, it allowed the media just to pound the living heck out of him. I mean, look, the media has conducted a four-year war against this president. And imagine, and a lot of his, you know, 80% of his supporters are like, yep, I just don't believe it. But I mean, man, we went through Russia. We went through, he hates women. He hates every minority. He hates gay people. And man, they had charts and polls to show it. So I mean, the concept that this president has taken a beating like that for four straight years from the media and might have lost a half a point in popularity, that's pretty impressive to me. It really is. I mean, that's a headwind. That very few people who didn't have the strength of Donald Trump, even with his flaws, couldn't do. It was shocking to me.
Ken, you brought it up, and if there's one thing I think people are overselling, it's the death of the polling industry because people want the information. Obviously, people are going to mock all the polls even more now, but the polling industry, in my opinion, won't go down at all. Because people want election results before there are election results. So give me the polls. I need the poll numbers here. I think these guys are just going to continue to scam people out of money for the foreseeable future.
You know what? If you could still go buy cigarettes and candy bars, you're probably right.
Speaking of which, I know it's a quick side issue, but I did see that Oregon decriminalized meth and heroin. And honestly, I'm such a small government guy. And the war on drugs has obviously not worked. It's been a disaster. I've, in general, with the risk of sounding like a wingnut, I've, in general, just not wanted government involved in vices. However, as soon as I saw it on paper, I thought to myself, that's probably not good to decriminalize meth, right? Am I wrong?
You know, it's gonna be a terrific experiment. I mean, I'm glad I don't live there. I'm glad this is an experiment on somebody else's state. The reality is that we've seen that occurred. There is no criminalization of meth in San Francisco or on some of the larger streets in the country. Yes, the sellers. So, I mean, the difference between how a guy with the needle that San Francisco gave him who's shooting up right on the sidewalk as I'm walking to lunch is going to be roughly the equivalent of what's going on in Oregon. So, you know, I guess it's a question of, you know, what is the right path for people who are screwed up on drugs like that? Is criminalization, you know, everybody says, well, you're sending them to jail. And it's like, well, that might not be the best thing for them. On the other hand, the threat of jail to get them into treatment might be the best for them. So, yeah, it'll be an interesting experiment. But I've seen that experiment kind of firsthand in San Francisco. So far, it's not really working out all that well. And I'm a libertarian, too. I'm like,
everybody.
Hey. Just because you can't handle your crack doesn't mean I shouldn't be able to have it. There we go.
Get out of here. Ken the Court. Thank you, brother.
Good seeing you.
All right. We got more. Joining me now from the news and why it matters on Blaze TV, Sarah Gonzalez. Sarah, I know you're probably not operating on the most sleep in the world, neither am I, but I'm still having the time of my life over here. This is absolute carnage, and it's awesome.
Really? Huh. I feel a little bit differently about that, Jesse. I am, again, no sleep that I'm operating off of, but I don't love the feeling that the Democrats are trying to steal the election away from the people. I don't love it. It's not a great feeling.
Yeah, but why is that surprising? I mean, I know you're not surprised by it. No. We knew that this is what they are now. Now, I remembered, I mean, leading up to the election, I feel like we don't even remember Russian collusion. We forget they impeached the president of the United States over a phone call he released the transcript of the next day and everybody could read it. This is what they are now. We're in the game now. I've accepted it. I think this is totally exciting.
Understand where you're coming from. I can't get excited by it because the potential of a Biden-Harris presidency, in which case what I really mean is a Harris presidency, because there's no way that Joe Biden, if he comes in and is inaugurated, lasts, 90 days as president. A Harris presidency scares the ever-living hell out of me, number one. Number two, I can't possibly imagine listening to Kamala Harris laugh for four entire years, right? Right? Do you still have that positive attitude now that you think about it?
Yes. Do you have any idea how much fun I'm going to have on my radio show and my TV show with a Kamala Harris presidency? It will be hysterical watching her bebop around the stage and do that stupid laugh and screw everything up. And it's not like, see, you worry more about a Harris presidency than I do. This is a woman who has done many things to get ahead. This is an ambitious person. She doesn't have any views whatsoever. She doesn't have any beliefs. She's going to go, we'll just buy her off. She'll just go along to get along.
I mean, well, you're right about her not having any actual ideals or morals or beliefs. I just, it's a very scary time. And I can't say that I trust the GOP to have the chutzpah, the balls, shall I say, to fight this the way that they need to be fighting it. Now, do I trust Donald Trump to put up a good fight? Yes, but unfortunately he needs the leadership behind him, and I just don't trust them to put up a good fight and be strong where they need to be strong. So I'm a little bit disheartened. I wish that I could share your optimism. I'm just very disheartened by the way that we knew that this was coming. Like you said, this was not a surprise. We knew that they were going to do it. They planted the seeds everywhere they could. They even put a name to it. They said it was going to be a Red Mirage. Now Operation Red Mirage has commenced, and the GOP seemingly was not even ready for it. They were not ready to fight it. They were not ready to put a plan into action, and here it is, and they're not ready for it. And I just think that is so typical of the GOP in 2020.
Sarah, why aren't we ready? I mean, look, I have a superior IQ to most people, and I saw it coming, so I can't expect everyone to be on my wavelength. But if you know Democrats are going to be going after DA races, Secretary of State races, you can see them sinking funding into it. If I can see it, other people can see it. How do we get caught flat-footed? And especially after this 4 years of rabid anti-Trumpness, you know they're going to go all in. How could we not see that coming?
I think the sad part, Jesse, is that they do see it coming. They just don't have the wherewithal. They don't have the guts to jump out and do something about it because they're worried about their images. They're worried about their images in the media. They're worried about public perception, and they know that the media controls the narrative. And unfortunately, they're too worried about getting plastered as some sort of white supremacist or misogynist or any other of the woke names and the woke trends that the titles that they're given. And they're too worried about that to be able to just stand up and speak out against something. So I think it's even worse than what you're saying. I think that they do see the problem. They do know that it's happening, and they just choose not to do anything about it, which I think is way worse.
Yeah, it is way worse. Speaking of woke politics, you people really showed up for Donald Trump last night. Well done.
I was very, very proud of my people. You know, it's interesting. You take a bunch of Cubans who have family members who have escaped socialism and brought them here to this country to give them something better. It's funny how they reject the same ideas that caused their parents, their grandparents, to flee a country and bring them here for a better life. So it's interesting how all that adds up.
Sarah, now, hold on. Let me push back on you there, because I keep hearing people say this today. But Democrats were pushing socialism under Hillary Clinton, and she got, like, all the Hispanic vote once again. Democrats before Hillary Clinton were getting all the Hispanic vote and pushing socialism. There's got to be something more that drew them to Trump or away from Democrats, right? Is it the BLM unrest? Do they like Trump? There's something more there, or am I crazy?
Yeah, no, you're not crazy. I do think that the Democrats as a whole have been much more straightforward and transparent about their plans. And I think that definitely scares the Latinos. But I think what you're also seeing is that Donald Trump not only has brought us the lowest unemployment numbers for not just blacks, but Hispanics and women and all other minority groups, but you're also seeing a group of people who we value hard work. We value, you know, knowing that we have done something with our own hands. We have created something, and we want to be rewarded for that. And you have a president now who wants to kind of cultivate that and let us get out of our way, right? Let us work hard and earn our rewards for it. And I think that that's why the Latinos have flocked to President Trump. And that's why they're rejecting Joe Biden's insistence that we be put in this box, that we be put in this brown people box, so to speak. And we don't like that. We just want to be treated as an individual, with which President Trump has done and continues to do for not just Latinos, but all minorities.
Sarah, did anything change? I understand we know that we don't know whether Biden or Trump's going to be president. It's probably going to come down to Arizona, I guess it looks like right now. Who knows? We don't know quite yet. And it's going to come down to the courts. So we got this long, messy battle. But no matter what, no matter where, I'm looking at a map, and it looks pretty much just like the last map. Nothing really changed over the last 4 years, or is that too cynical?
No, I would agree with you. It looks very, very similar to the map in 2016. Although I will say what I was very encouraged by was the fact that President Trump has seemed to do better with minorities. You know, we just touched on Latinos, but overall he seemed to do better with minorities, with black voters, with Latinos, also with Asian voters. And to me, it's not just about President Trump and how he does with minorities. It's about the fact that minorities are rejecting the leftist identity politics. It shows that, you know, Joe Biden can't get on screen and say, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black, and have all of the black people just eat it up and not question it. I think that there is an awakening happening in the minority community. And I think if we can look at a silver lining, even if Joe Biden takes the presidency, I think that is the silver lining, that perhaps it wasn't enough to give President Trump the win this time around. Perhaps, we don't know yet. But even if it wasn't, we are seeing an awakening that is not an imagined thing. There is an awakening happening in the minority community. And I think the more that the left doubles down on this identity politics, the more minorities will become awakened to that.
Setting aside the potential for fraud and various nefarious things, if Joe Biden is president in a week, a month, who knows how long it's going to take him to work all this out, why did Donald Trump lose?
You know, I go back and forth on this. I know a lot of people, I've seen a lot of polling that says that COVID was the most important thing to a lot of people. But I think it's going to come down to the suburban moms. I think, unfortunately, you know, you and I have talked a lot about the Karens of the world. And how ironic that it would come down to the Karens of the country. And, you know, they don't like the tweets. The tweets are too much. And they don't like, you know, they're worried about their children, even though all of the statistics show that their children aren't going to, you know, the generally speaking, their children are not going to have any sort of long-term effects from COVID-19. So I think that I really think that it is the suburban moms, which honestly, it pains me to say because I am a suburban mom and I cannot possibly imagine number one, being scared for my children with COVID, and number two, thinking that picking a person who enables people who are burning down our cities somehow makes my kids safer. I just can't possibly imagine it, but for some reason, all of these suburban moms, these Karens of the country, I think probably they would have done him in. And it's embarrassing for me to say, but unfortunately, I think that there might be some truth to it.
Sarah Gonzalez, The News and Why It Matters. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right. We have a cool, cool video I never expected to see. Hang on. One thing I didn't see coming in this election, and I'm going to miss it. I'll tell you, I'm really going to miss it, is all the various parades, the vehicle parades out there, the boat parades out there. I mean, how cool is that? I love that feeling of togetherness. I think it looks really, really cool. And I did not see the Amish, of all people, the Amish getting this involved in the election. But apparently the Amish were all in on Team Trump. The same on the game. Hey, Donald Trump is your president, and if you like it or not, keep the energy you had with Barack, because you know this Trump train don't stop. Tell I grew up around Amish country. My on my mom's side, there's a lot of Amish there. That's really awesome. Awesome people, by the way, I should mention. And the best baked goods you've ever had in your entire life, because everything's homemade. We used to stop when we'd visit family. They'd have little bakeries or little places in gas station, and you can buy just the Amish butter. You know, it's all like hand-churned butter. Oh. Anyway, I don't want to get sidetracked. We'll be all right. See you tomorrow. Your holster is way more important than you think it is. It's just way more important than you think it is. What? Look, and I get that. The holster's not the sexy part of carrying firearms, right? You want to talk about your weapon and your ammunition. You want to talk about your safety training. You want to talk about how you did at the range. Oh, look at my groups. I was doing these failure drills today. And all that stuff's really important. I mean, really, really important. I'm not discounting that. But I've known so many people who do all those things. They take all the necessary steps, and then they carry with a holster they bought from a big box hunting store that was made 1,000 at a time. Please, don't put your life in one of those holsters. You need to trust Northwest Retention Systems, because it's all custom-made gear. It's the only thing I carry around. NWRetention.com. That's NWRetention.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Get you 10% off.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.